Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. So in restoring original Christianity for today, there are a couple of things that we need to keep in mind as we're going through the segments on the Passover in the New Testament, because the Passover is absolutely the central act of God, plan from the foundation of the world, to the very day, to the very words, to the very act of dying on the cross. That was all planned by God. And Jesus told his disciples, just before he ascended into heaven, he wanted to make absolutely sure that as the apostles went out, which they did, they would teach the teachings of Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was more than just a man. He was God manifested into flesh. Because, see, there is no such thing as a Trinity. Some people may go, you don't believe in the Trinity. Well, the truth is, if you're a Christian, you would not believe in the Trinity. Because the Trinity is nowhere in the Bible given as the third person, the Holy Spirit, as God. Nowhere. Take a little challenge. You just do this. Read all the introductions of the epistles of Paul. And he said, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Not once did Paul mention the Holy Spirit as God. So if you think that is heresy, if you think what I just said is not true, and you consider yourself a Christian, you have been deceived. Oh, but I wouldn't be deceived. Really? Revelation 12:9 says, Satan the devil is deceiving the whole world. I ask you a question. Do you go to church? Do you consider yourself a Christian? Do you go to church on Sunday? Now, we've done enough programs on it, so you go back and listen to those segments concerning the Sabbath and Sunday. Never. I'll say it once more. Never. Did Jesus or the apostles authorize Sunday keeping in place of the seventh-day weekly Sabbath? Period. Let me ask you another question. Have you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in a good translation? Because men recently have gotten in there and they have changed the word. Even the trusty King James Version has some very bad mistranslations in it, which cause people to misunderstand the Word of God. Now, we have a Bible, the Holy Bible in its original order, a faithful version with commentary. Now, that Bible is the most accurate English translation available today. So let's come here to Matthew. Let's see what Jesus said. Verse 18, Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. All authority. Not the Pope. God never gave the Pope 1 ounce of authority to do anything in his name. Now, that may be shocking to you. If it is, you need to ask yourself the question, could I be deceived and duped?
Viva!
Did you just grow up in your religion? And what the religion was good enough for your grandmother and grandfather and your father and your mother is good enough for me. You need to ask the question, is it good enough for God? Doesn't matter what other people think. If you believe that God is supreme, you better ask the question, what's good enough for God? You need to think about that. It's not like the story that Bill Cosby did decades ago. Remember what he did concerning Noah?
Vuba, 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 Noah.
Who is that?
It's the Lord, Noah.
Right. Where are you? What do you want? I've been good.
See, that's the concept that people have. That as long as they consider themselves good, and as long as the Christian religious leaders tell you that you are good, then you're satisfied. But the question is God satisfied? If you go to church on Sunday, what did you hear last Sunday? Now, you may have heard some scriptures. You may have heard some truth. But let me read you something here in the last part of the book of Matthew, after he said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. He said, therefore, go and make disciples in all nations, everywhere. They were to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has to be given as the power of God. That is not a Trinitarian formula. And a lot of people go there and say, see, this is a Trinity. Oh, you read the translation in John and it says, he. Wrong. That is a blatant mistranslation and the translators know it. It should be it because it is the power of God. And it is the power of God that gives understanding, the Spirit of God that is with us or in us after baptism, and God's mercy and grace that puts us in right standing with God. Now, notice what the disciples were commanded by Jesus to do. Verse 20, teaching them to observe all things. Now, what are all things? Things. That means everything that I have commanded you. Have you gone through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and read the commandments of Jesus Christ? Do you keep them? Now remember, in covering about the Passover, we went through the scriptures concerning foot washing. Is that taught in your church? And if it's taught in your church, is it done on the day according to the calculated Hebrew calendar? God does not use the Roman calendar. He uses his own, the calculated Hebrew calendar. And the first month of the calculated Hebrew calendar comes in the spring, March, April, according to the Roman calendar. And the Passover day, as we saw, is only on one day, 14th day of the first month. And that day, as we saw, was selected from the foundation of the world, that one of the Godhead, who became Jesus Christ, would become the sacrifice by becoming a human being, human in every way, with human nature, with the pulls and temptations of the flesh. And yet he would be perfect in his love and obedience to God. Have you been taught that? We also covered the bread and the wine, did we not? Yes, we did. Now, we're going to cover a little bit more of that today, and then we are going to see, what does it mean? Because everything we do in original Christianity for today has spiritual meaning and has to do with what is required for eternal life. Now, you see, just like the political campaigns, all of Satan's messengers ridicule, despise, and debunk the truth of God because they don't teach it, because they are not from God. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the completion of the age. How long were the original teachings of Jesus Christ to be taught? Until he returns. Now, we've already covered this before, but I want to ask the question again. Do you think that any man can present to God something that is better than God has already commanded us to do? Now, this becomes very important for us to realize and understand when we come to the Passover. Because remember what Jesus said, if you do not wash one another's feet, you have no part with him. In other words, regardless of the best intentions that you may have in your heart and in your mind, and regardless of the best intentions of the minister and preacher and teacher, if they teach any other thing than what Jesus taught and what we find in the Old and New Testament, there is no light in them. Now, we're going to see something very important for us to understand. Because theologians like to divide out the Apostle Paul and say, well, Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. And we are all Gentiles. That is not a true statement either. Paul had to go first to the children of Israel and then to the Gentiles. Did Paul teach another gospel? No, he did not. He even had a confrontation with Peter, James, and John over the issue of circumcision. And remember, it was Peter who went to Cornelius' house. And it was to Peter that God revealed that the Gentiles could be baptized without physical circumcision, because spiritual circumcision of the heart through the Holy Spirit is what is required for the New Testament. Now, stop and think for a minute. People say, oh, well, circumcision has been done away. Well, maybe physical circumcision has, but not spiritual circumcision. And spiritual circumcision is a higher standard, a higher level, a converted mind. Are you converted? Do you have the Spirit of God? Do you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and being? Do you know that you have counted the cost and that you will follow Jesus Christ and God the Father under all circumstances? That you love them more than father, mother, brother, sister, lands, children, and even your own life? Is that your dedication to God? Well, that's what Jesus commanded. Do you believe that? Now, let's come to Romans, the second chapter. Let's talk a little bit about circumcision of the heart. And then we will talk about and we will look at the fact that Paul taught the Gentiles to keep the Christian Passover. Now, think about that for a minute. To a lot of people, That's an oxymoron, but it's not. Was Christ Jesus? Yes. Was he Christian? Yes, the author of it. What did he teach his disciples? The foot washing, the bread, and the wine. Let's see what Paul says to the Jew who does not keep the laws of God. See, now you need this book, Judaism, Revelation of Moses, or a religion of men. You cannot understand the writings of the Apostle Paul unless you have this book. Ask your Sunday-keeping pastor, what is Judaism? He will probably say, well, that's what the Jews do, and that's what the Old Testament is all about. And we don't do those things anymore. We're of the new covenant. Now, those are blatantly false statements. He doesn't have a clue as to what Judaism really is. Judaism is not the teachings of the Old Testament. Judaism is centrally and only the traditional teachings of the Jews who have substituted Judaism for the teachings of the Old Testament. Just like those who teach the New Testament have substituted their version of the New Testament for the teachings of the New Testament. And here's what the Jews contend even to this day. Behold, you are called a Jew, and you yourself rest in the law and boast in God. Know his will and approve of the things that are more excellent being instructed out of the law. And are persuaded that you yourself are a guide of the blind, a light to those in darkness. Yes, we're the chosen people, and everybody else is beneath us. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having a form of the knowledge and of the truth contained in the law, they have it, they hold it, but they don't use it, they don't obey it, and they have rejected Jesus Christ. You then who teach another, do you not teach yourself also? You who preach, do not steal, are you stealing? You who say, do not commit adultery, are you committing adultery? You who abhor idols, are you committing sacrilege? You who boast in law, are you dishonoring God through your transgression of the law? And the answer is yes. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now let's continue here. And through you the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles exactly as it is written. For on the one hand, circumcision profits if you are observing the law. On the other hand, if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. If the uncircumcised is keeping the requirements of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be reckoned for circumcision, accepted by God, because he has the circumcision of the Spirit? And that's what God wants, because that converts the mind. So you need to understand that. We're talking about the original teachings of Jesus Christ. So then he goes on to say, to chide the Jews. And this is really an irritating statement to the Jews, who to this day still think that they are superior above all people. Shall not the uncircumcised, who by nature is fulfilling the law, judge you who with the letter and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? So then Paul makes a very profound statement. And it's this. If you want to be like Jesus, because Jesus came from the tribe of Judah, and that's where the nickname Jew comes from. In other words, if you want to be like Christ, then you have to have the circumcision of the heart, and that only comes through repentance and baptism. Now, two more verses. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is external in the flesh. Rather, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not from men but from God. So you see, all of these things are necessary before you get into partaking of the true Christian Passover. It's not just one of these things like they have today. Now, if you want to go into a Catholic cathedral and you want to partake of the bread of the Eucharist, you just go there. When they call people to come up front, you just go up and stick out your tongue. The priest puts it on your tongue and you chew it and go your way. And you're told that that contains the real blood and body of Christ. That's a lie. The whole ceremony of it is blasphemous. Now, people will say, man, you're pretty heavy on him. Well, if my words sound pretty heavy, what do you think the judgment of God is going to be on them? Now, let's come to Galatians 3. Let's understand something that Paul wrote to the Galatians, and it was essentially a Gentile church. They were bothered by Judaizers. And Galatians is the hardest book to understand of Paul's epistles. So don't go there to start reading the New Testament. If you get the book, Judaism, a Revelation of Moses or a Religion of Men, and you understand what the code of Jewish law and traditions of the Jews are, then you'll be able to understand the book of Galatians. If not, you don't. And 99.99% of all the Protestant and Catholic teachers and priests do not understand that. Now, we're talking about circumcision of the heart, which comes through baptism. Verse 26, because you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Do you walk in the footsteps of Christ? Because that is the definition of Christian. Now let's understand something very important, because as we began this, the Passover does not go back to Egypt. It goes back to Abraham 430 years before the Passover in Egypt. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, that is in the flesh. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. Remember, you put on Christ. You walk as he walked. You think as he thinks. You receive the Spirit of God to do that. And all of this is wrapped up in the Christian Passover. Now notice verse 29. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That is the whole foundation of the Christian Passover. Now, the Passover to the Israelites and Exodus was one thing. We've already covered that. Jesus' last Passover becomes most important for us. And we'll go into more detail in this. Because, see, without the knowledge of the Christian Passover and without the Holy Spirit of God and without keeping the Christian Passover on the day and in the manner that Jesus commanded, you are not a Christian, and you have no eternal life. That's why it's so important that we restore original Christianity. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Be sure and visit our other website, cbcg.org. We have hundreds and hundreds of sermons and transcripts and information there for you that you will not find on any other website in the world. So you need to be about restoring original Christianity in your life. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, so long everyone.